Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
One of the greatest memories of childhood. We had to wait at the top of the stairs while my dad would go downstairs and he would get the lights turned on the tree and get everything set to go. And we were like, can we come down yet? Can we come? Mom, what's going on? Just wait. Kathy would be really great getting gifts because she was 7 years older than I was and she would scream and squeal like a teenage girl would. I'd be like the kid in A Christmas Story that wore the big parka.
Yeah.
The stuff parka.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
That was me. And I saw him. I said, how you doing? Hey, Michael, how you doing? I said, hey, how's your mother doing? Is she okay? We heard about what happened. I said, yeah, Mr. McCabe, she's doing fine. She says, yeah. But I noticed that the car was gone across the street and down in the ditch. And I said to my wife, oh, Mike must be home.
Mike, I just brought up a picture of that Bentley Bentayga.
Yes.
It looks like a Kia Sportage.
Oh, stop it. Oh, Jesus. All right. Enough of you. You don't care about cars. You're a Kia man all the way. I know.
It does.
What is the Kia? What is the Kia you drive around in? What is that one?
A Sorento. Yes. Very European. Continental.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I don't know whether it's daylight savings time or, my going back to a lack of carbohydrates for that fix.
Tarts.
Not that I'd eat a bag of chips before I do the show, but kind of logy. Now, here's the weird thing about me, and it's always been this way. I cannot tell you how I felt all morning. I was dragging. I was watching the news and doing show prep. And all of a sudden, Carla went for her walk, and the door opened, and I was like, I woke up because I literally had drifted off right after I woke up.
Oh, wow.
Let me get this out of the way first.
Please do the things.
We're the Mike O'Mara Show from South Paris, Maine, Templeton, California, Bozeman, Montana, St. Augustine, Florida, Liverpool, New York, and Lucerne, Switzerland. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. If you've never listened to it before and you're just turning it on right now, you might be saying, guy started talking about being tired. No, I was talking to another dad at the bus stop, the only other dad at the bus stop, and he was saying the same thing, that's a little logy, and I think it's the spring forward.
Yeah.
The spring forward doesn't necessarily agree with
maybe
me.
Maybe it's low T. You get into that age. You didn't have it clearly in your mid-50s as you had Michael.
20 years ago I had low T.
Yeah, but I didn't want to bring this up on air, but I will now.
Oh, here's a good start.
That always makes me filled with dread.
Yeah, that's one of his better opening statements, his salvos.
I listened to, and I am intrigued, and I researched an anti-aging establishment in Washington, D.C., where I don't know what they do there, but apparently you can go to these places.
Is it called Good Guys?
All across America.
No.
And they give you a cocktail that makes you feel younger. Have you ever heard of such a place?
How's that? I was your editor. Down here. You're there, and I'm here. I don't know. I look.
All right, hold on. Let me rub my face.
I'm not taking orders for my haircut.
Do you know what's in the cocktail at all? Do they publicize that?
Coke.
I imagine it's
like
some sort of testosterone cocktail that's monitored by a doctor.
And I imagine
that because that's what I inferred from the website.
Okay.
Now, it feels like it's completely out of my, I would say, budget.
So it's expensive.
Of course.
Yeah, but I'm still, Mike, it's just like why we look at fancy cars online. Like, I still want to see them. I still want to know about them. I'm not going to own them, but I want to know about them.
I would love to feel more energy. I have to make one thing, all right? And this is the reason. I would get a great night's sleep, but for one thing. Now, Rob does not use his breathing apparatus
that
he has for his sleep apnea.
It stopped me from sleeping. I gave it many weeks of trial, and it made it so hard for me to sleep.
I'm addicted to it because I don't want to do that like I used to do.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. But mine is blasting me so much in the middle of the night that I got to get it adjusted. And I have to take it to the person. That's what I'm going to do. When I was the last time I went to see this person, I was fatter and they turned it up and I let them turn it up. And I'm going to make it real clear. I said, you are destroying my sleep by the adjustments you have. So people that don't have one of these machines don't know what I'm talking about.
Sleep apnea
machine. We've seen our audience. They all have.
You got a mask on, and it has airflow, so it helps with your airflow by putting a mask on and shoving air into your mouth so that you don't stop breathing while you're sleeping. A lot of people do that. It's called sleep apnea. That's what happens. So mine is an adjustable. When I started out, it's got a great little level, a little gentle little thing, works fine. Apparently, when I drift off to sleep, which is when the apnea happens, it has to force more air. I'm going to tell them to tweak that down.
Does it have a sensor or a timer? Because obviously yours is a little more.
Know.
Mine is that. Does it open up into a larger machine?
I don't know. Don't ask me questions I don't know the answers to.
Now, here is a question that you will
fire.
Know.
You're playing with fire by not using yours.
Bob,
it was not comfortable.
It would be dramatically improved if you just fought through it.
All right.
Does your wife ever mention that... in the middle of the night, you were diagnosed with sleep apnea.
Yeah, I've gotten better
at
about
17.
I've gotten better about it, but I think it still happens. But
what do you mean you've gotten better about it?
Less times that I'm snorting myself awake, and she has not commented that it's happening as much anymore. So maybe I've got a better position. Maybe my throat has lost some weight. I don't know. I remember.
You're assuming.
The doctor said, I'm assuming everything. The doctor said, your problem, sir, is you have a fat throat. I said, okay.
But skinny guys can have fat throats as well.
Exactly. But
people have sleep apnea that are thin. That happens,
yes,
too.
Yes.
A question. If you request some sort of severe adjustment, they may request another sleep study. Would you do that?
No.
Sleep study is such pure misery. It's the worst.
No, it's not misery, but it's not. It's time. And I don't want to give up the time. I think that I know what the deal is, and I was adjusted because of the weight factor. I remember having a discussion about that. Based on your weight, I don't want to turn it down. I want to just have a discussion and see what I can do first into why you're smirking.
I believe you're being proactive about your health, which is always important. I think that it speaks volumes of you and where you are in life. Five years ago, you wouldn't have cared about it.
I wake up every night. And sometimes it's because I got to take a Winky Tink.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's because of that thing
there.
I know if it was more gentle. I drift off to sleep when I pop that thing on, when it's at that lower level. I drift off to sleep within 5 minutes.
It might be sense memory. Like when your body feels that happening, it might actually relax you. So if you stayed consistent at that level, it might actually benefit
yourself. I'm going to ask her. And I think
ask
you would have more energy if you did it.
All right.
If you put your do you sleep a full, uninterrupted sleep every night?
I usually have to pee once a night.
Okay.
I'd say rule, because, it's that age. But
Do you sleep in the marital bed or on the couch?
I do sleep in the marital bed next to my wife, who
that's
I married.
Good.
That's right.
That's good.
Years ago.
Nude.
Just remember, though, both of them are going to be in college next year.
Uh-huh.
That's when Bruce Buffer says, it's time!
That's a bracket that Mike's excited to fill out.
No, I'm really not. No, do you think I'd be excited? See, that's where you've been this week.
I
know you're a little depressed, and I know you're a little low energy. Oscar, has it not been low energy, Rob, all week?
Well, he lost a loved one, and his marriage is almost over.
Loved one,
we'd all be bummed.
It's bum central with Rob.
If you get divorced, it's terrible for Rob, it's great for the show.
Yeah, but I don't root for you to get divorced.
I know, I'm only teasing.
But I would never know whether it was good or bad in your life because you don't communicate your
turmoil.
Life. You don't share. And now you're trying to change the subject again. That's the modus operandi. I talk about sleep apnea, you move by it. Talk about the marriage, you move by it. But low energy, Rob, this week.
The marriage is right now in a, I would say, I don't want to give it a letter grade like they do in school, but you know how sometimes it used to be you get a plus, a minus, or an N for needs improvement?
Yes.
Like for the stuff that wasn't hard grades. I'd say we're in the plus zone right now.
Oh.
So that's good. That is good.
How many quarters have you been
when you're going through the loss of a loved one, your uncle.
And I think she's been very supportive with that, and it's been very nice because she knows where it's at. So that is good. We're in a good place for that. Now, as far as sleep apnea, I haven't thought about it in a while. But the machine is happening. I got a mask. I've even got some replacement parts still in plastic because you
When was the last time? When did you have it?
I had it when the Pope came to D.C. I remember all of that went down because I wasn't sleeping for like a week because of the machine. And then they said because the Pope is coming to town, every street in D.C. is going to be closed. So that day, I left my home to come to Georgetown at 4:30 in the morning and got here in 45 minutes. Fastest commute ever. Because,
so how long ago was that
I think that might have been like 2018.
6 years?
No, it wasn't 6 years ago, but I think it was
so it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So right. I remember, but I was fit to be tied because I had been on no sleep for like 2 weeks.
I may be psychologically addicted to mine. Mm-hmm. I may be that. But because I'm terrified to try a night without it.
Was it 2015?
Yes.
So that was a long time ago. Yeah. You'd have to get like reevaluated and stuff like that. So
I'll tell you what, I'll fire it up in a day or so and see how we do.
See if it still works.
See if it works. It has an old fashioned three prong plug like from
I'm not
Europe.
Trying to tell you to use it. I'm just saying.
But
you know.
I think, you know, if it's that helpful to you, and I love the fact that you said it immediately relaxes you. So maybe if I could build up the tolerance.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
Mine,
I think, stays static through the night. I don't think
mine
it changes.
Mine wakes me up. Oh, I'm sure that mine wakes me up, and that's what I have to do, and I have to go see the doctor who's married to the other doctor. And I don't like that. I don't like these family
teams,
medical practices.
Yeah,
I don't like them with dentists.
How dare they?
I don't like them with doctors. I don't like anesthesiologists that are married.
How dare they? How dare they be successful and marry success? Let me ask you this.
How dare they save a payment? I mean, that's, you know, it's like, well, we don't really pay her. She's my wife.
Would you consider...
sure you do.
...testosterone treatment to help you sleep? Because apparently the higher testosterone levels, the better sleep you get.
I know this, Oscar. A higher testosterone, you're less likely to roll out of bed.
I don't think I miss a lot of sleep. I think I don't... I want perfect sleep. I want 7 to 8 hours uninterrupted like a lot of people.
Go for eight.
Yeah, that's not too much to ask.
I'm not going to get eight on the basic numbers sometimes. You know,
right.
I get up at 6 a.m. almost every day,
mm-hmm.
And then I turn in usually sometime between 10 and 11. So, I mean,
seven. Seven is good then. Seven plus.
Is kind of what seven uninterrupted is what I would like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's we all have sleep issues in this country. I think we do. We're under a lot of pressure. We're under a lot of stress.
Mike, pandemic says this. The numbers for the pandemic say this. That over 50% of us have drank more or had more alcohol overall during the pandemic times in our lives in this span of the year. That's
mm-hmm.
the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then the other side is it says roughly a third of us have gained 30 pounds.
That's weird. I have lost 30 pounds and I have I haven't had a drink in about 3 weeks. So
that's a kick in the bucket for your body of work, right?
I heard
compared to where it is. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, but I bet you know I knocked off for a year one time. I don't know when I'm going back. I don't know. But I mean, it's just the feeling of loginess kind of has to do with I think this machine. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
I saw a statistic, Oscar, that the average American gained 2 pounds per month of pandemic. So it wasn't like it was like a steady growth.
No, not at once. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're at home, you're drinking more at home.
Sure.
Let me tell you what I think about where we are as a country with this pandemic right now. We are, I grew up in what is called a center chimney cape. Mm. That is a very small.
And that's what you wore, right?
It's a center chimney. It's a small Cape Cod style house.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a chimney in the middle of it. And the chimney went right up through the middle of the house. And
we've never discussed this because Big Daddy had the same styled house. Was there a bedroom upstairs that actually had like a column through it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, It didn't have a chimney, but it had bricks going through the bedroom.
Yeah. So I'm sure the layout was the same. Did you have three bedrooms upstairs?
We had, if you want to call the teeny little room off of my parents' bedroom a bedroom, then that would be yes.
Okay, I bet the layout was very similar. I never knew that.
You go through my parents' bedroom, and I grew up, when I was little, sleeping in the little room next door.
Okay.
And then we had one bedroom down on the main floor.
Exactly.
And my sister slept in that when she got older. When she went to college, I got that bedroom. No, okay. No. She slept in the bedroom to the far right of the house. I got it when she went to college. And that became mine. I never realized
that our houses were so similar.
We didn't have ceiling. Upstairs, you don't have real, like, flat ceilings. Everything's an angle.
Exactly.
Because mm-hmm. it was like that. You were sleeping basically on that. And I remember putting these old NFL posters up on the ceiling, which was angled up, so I could look at them.
That's cool.
And if you went back and looked at those, they were up for years and years. And I mean, and I watched the change in logos and everything over the period of time. The Rams are now back to wearing blue and white, which is what they were. Anyway, it's a long story. I digress. But that's what we had.
It's your center cake.
And you crawled up a very short flight of stairs because it was a small house,
right.
And we were told on Christmas morning that we had to wait at the top of the stairs. One of the greatest memories of childhood. We had to wait at the top of the stairs while my dad would go downstairs and he would get the lights turned on the tree and get everything set to go. We were like, can we come down yet? Can we come? Mom, what's going on? Just wait. I want to come down. I want to start. No, you can't start. Come on, I want to play. Mom, can we start? Can we start? We're up at the, Kathy and I are up at the 7. Kathy would be really great getting gifts because she was 7 years older than I was, and she would scream and squeal like a teenage girl would, and I'd be just like, I'd be like the kid in A Christmas Story that wore the big parka.
Yeah.
The stuff parka.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
That was me. And my sister was Ralphie. So
I sent you guys a picture. This is also a tradition in our house. It comes from Big Daddy's tradition where the kids were not allowed to come downstairs. We're talking 8 kids in Big
it's
Daddy's
wonderful.
House. And he said, you're not allowed
tradition.
To come down until Mom and I have got our cup
That's
of coffee.
Sweet.
And so we make them wait. It's great.
I wrote this down this morning. I said that as a country, we are at the top of the stairs waiting to come down and open our presents. And hey, America, you have to stay there a little while longer.
Yeah, you got
to
wait for that cup of coffee.
Stay there a little while longer. Florida, right now, Mom and Dad are down at the local convenience store getting cigarettes, and the kids are just, the presents aren't wrapped. And the kids are under the tree. And by the way, lots of deep dives being done on a lot of things here in Florida. Perhaps the celebration was a little premature to say how great we are doing.
Oh,
it's
really?
Not as great. And, a lot of people say it might have been health-wise, death-wise, severe illness-wise, might have been even better if they'd even done the slightest amount of measures to control this pandemic. But I digress. What I'm saying right now is
the spring breakers seem to be having a good time, though.
The spring breakers are out of control. I read an article in our local paper here that they might be somebody posted it. They might be moseying over to Fort Myers Beach. So
that's good
we got
news.
That going for us, which is nice. I think that we are at the top of the stairs, and we have to be disciplined and stay at the top of the stairs.
Yes, this way.
And we're almost there. By the way, my daughter, who has severe asthma in Los Angeles, was vaccinated.
Great.
2 days ago.
Nice.
So, and I'm seeing more and more and more people that are getting vaccinated. Do you feel the same way, though, that we are – that – Christmas may be coming indeed. That we may. Do you feel that way?
I am confident when I say that I feel like the DC era, DMV, is at best, at least in the city, doing what they can to stay at the top of the stairs.
Okay. Yeah.
They are.
I agree.
That's good.
Yeah. I agree. But there are the occasional people that say, you can open 2 presents on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to kill us. That is literally going to kill us. But I do see in this immediate area, every time I see, and even if it's someone who is youngish that appears to be healthy, they're getting vaccinated. You got to know that every time a shot goes in the arm, we're one step closer.
I agree.
But let's enjoy the fact that we're, what did you say yesterday? We're on the 10-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
I think we
blow
are.
It.
I
let's
heard somebody say that. I love
it.
That analogy
yes.
that we're on the 10-yard. And it was, we'll see what happens. But do you think, and this is a segue, a very long segue
Please.
Into what you wanted to talk about.
Yes.
I think a test for the D.C. region is coming up very, very soon, and it's something that Rob really loves every year in Washington, D.C., and that is the Cherry Blossom Festival. The cherry blossoms that were a gift.
A gift.
Pre-World War II gift, am I right?
I believe yes.
Mm-hmm.
A pre-World War II gift to the city of Washington, D.C. from the Japanese government. And they are very beautiful. and people go crazy. Well, I don't know any. I never went down to see him.
I did once. I know this, is that from around the round world, when people look at Washington, D.C., I think the image of Washington, D.C. is one of the greatest, most powerful, and in many ways beautiful cities in the world. It was, it was designed very smartly, and we have lots of beautiful monuments. But let me tell you something. When you talk cherry blossoms around the Tidal Basin, it is the biggest.
Now, tell people what the Tidal Basin is.
The Tidal Basin is actually a man-made body of water that connects to the Potomac River that rises and lowers with the tides. And it's a great tourist attraction where you can get a paddle boat and go out on the Tidal Basin and really live it up.
It's exciting.
But the cherry blossoms.
It was a problem last year.
Oh,
it was a problem last year.
Huge problem last year. Because this is right when things were starting, the S was hitting the fan, and people kept going down to the Tidal Basin to see the cherry blossoms. First problem is that when you go, you will be disappointed. The time I went, I said, you know what's going to be great? I bet it's going to smell fantastic. Well, guess what? Cherry blossoms have no
appreciable odor. So you're a lifelong resident of the area,
yes.
And you were a rube
that
got rubed into going down, because you went down as an adult to see the blossoms,
I was courting Carrie at the time, and she said, that would be a nice thing to do. And I said, okay. And there is no smell. And I know this for a fact now from people that have cherry blossoms in their yard. All those petals fall off, rot, and then they smell, but they smell like rotten flowers. So that's what we have to look forward to.
Wait. Don't. First, there are different species of cherry blossom. Some that smell, some that don't.
All right. Well, these do not.
Yeah, the ones that are at the Tidal Basin do not smell.
Right.
And this is a different generation, Rob. When you were going down in your Uncle Buck jackets, courting Carrie, there was no Instagram. There was no Facebook. People go down there because they want to show the world these blossom trees that are nowhere else but Japan for the most part.
Can you turn this music off? It's driving me nuts.
Of course.
God.
So it's the reason they run down there now is not for like our dads to take their Nikons out and take pictures that we'll never see until
we
look at the
family
album.
We really do have, analog pictures.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we have.
On paper.
But for the Maddies of the world and the ponies that are actually social, they go out there to take pictures to show the world. Look at these pink trees. That's why they go.
Well, here's the thing. The National Park Service. The service has said basically behave or lose your privileges. And I can quote now National Park Service spokesman Mike Litterist, who is actually quoted in this article, Mike.
I would have changed my last name by now.
That guy has had that job since I was in the 80s,
forever.
I think.
Forever he's been there.
It's got to be a pervert,
Mike Litterist.
It's got to be a pervert.
Mike Litterist said the agency is prepared to close off the Tidal Basin entirely and keep it closed until the trees have lost their blooms.
Oh, wait, let me say that's alleged that he's a pervert. I would just have changed my name when I was in college, maybe, if that was the situation.
Or go by Michael.
So wait, let's get, what are they saying about lose your privileges? What will make people lose their privileges? That they're just going to be too crowded? What's going on? What do they
want? They're saying that you can't overcrowd the area and make it a super spreader event. And I quote, "We tried last year to discourage people from coming down, and we still had thousands of people coming to a really small area. Around the trees, the Tidal Basin is just very confined. The minute someone pauses to take photos, you get a bottleneck and crowds start to form. This is a really confined space. Last year showed us that." So they've called off the they say they haven't stopped this. I'm sorry, let me read this here. It says, "Festival organizers have stopped short of inviting out-of-towners to visit, but they haven't disinvited them either. And what they've started, and this is what makes me the maddest, they're doing a national broadcast, a small neighborhood parade, a kite fly, and of course, Mike, the bloom cam, where you can go on the computer and watch live footage of trees."
All right, this is D.C. in its purest form.
Mm-hmm.
This is a giant bucket of pig slop.
It is.
That they have painted up to be a thing, and it shouldn't be a thing. The reason it's a thing in D.C. is, and for those of you that may want a career in government, perhaps you're getting out of college, you might want to move to the nation's capital, be prepared that the D.C. area manufactures things. Because they, outside of the monuments and the seat of power in our nation, it's a swamp. And there's nothing going. You're a little too far away from the mountains.
Yep.
You're a little too far away from the sea. And that's why everybody will get their tatas in a ringer over planted trees to drive down and look and go, oh, a tree. Now, I am taking. Now, if you're saying, oh, you don't appreciate natural wonders, it's not a natural wonder.
No,
it's a tree that was planted. A natural wonder is what I'm putting my family on a plane to go out and see the Rocky Mountains, the Grand Tetons, and all these beautiful national park scenes. Those are natural wonders. To come down, and by the way, it's not just tourists, it's everybody in the suburbs.
Of course.
Because it's such a big ball of crap, all right? Let me tell you about the D.C. area. Well, just another thing that I loved about it, okay? You think of a county fair, all right?
Right.
A county fair is drive out to a wide open area, see cows and stalls and everything. Let me tell you about the Fairfax County Fair, which is the Northern Virginia suburb of Washington, D.C. You know what that is? It's in like a parking lot, and they bring shuttle buses in because they don't have any effing room to even park your car because it's not a county. It's nothing like a county fair. It's a D.C. suburbia county fair. It's too crowded.
Mike, everything is so great. Because
everything in D.C. is step over other people, step over to do something that you think is special, but it's really not.
You said there's no parking because they've actually put the fair in the parking lot. So you can't park there. It's at the D.C., at the Fairfax Government Center. And
Fairfax Government Center, which is completely, woefully inadequate.
Right.
And why don't they put it in an open space? Because there is none.
That's right. It's all being built. But if you want to go there and see a real good county fair experience, pay your prices and go see the B-52s at age 75. Because that's what they have at the Fairfax County Fair.
Like, I might see the B-52s.
No, I think that's
in 2 years, right. We'll have an indoor ski slope. One of the largest in Mid-Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that exciting? I just think I've always hated,
fun?
I don't like manufactured events.
Right.
I really don't, except for Christmas.
But the cherry blossoms can be beautiful if you're not a rube.
Well, then.
But I mean, it's just, they're not beautiful. They're beautiful if you would just have them. And you'd be driving to work and you drive, hey, I'll take a side trip and I'll drive by them. They're not beautiful.
They're not beautiful.
When you're smelling other people's farts, because they're 5,000 people in a half a block square area. BS. It really is, you know? It's like another one. Here's one. The national tree lighting. The national tree lighting. Oh, they turn the tree on. See it when they don't do that.
Exactly.
Watch it on TV. Turn it on.
Mike.
I can understand people want to go look at lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun. But spread it out.
I have a
That's
soft
the problem.
Spot.
Can I just interject one? Yes. Let me just say this really quick. The problem with the cherry blossoms is the narrow period of time. And by the way, the weekend they plan everything, inevitably you have a little cold front come through and blow the right off the tree anyway.
Mike, I get it. Pre-pandemic and post-vaccine, the vaccination of America. I hope we can get back to people enjoying these. I guess they're staples of the area. And especially if you're a family and you're cheap like my dad, and all you have are excuses to not spend money and watch parades with your kids and pretend like you've done something because you can take them to work in the morning and then take them to a parade.
Right.
Like that, I remember as a child, he's like, we're going to go to work at 8 a.m. on Saturday. And then at noon, we're going to walk over and see the parade. So we'd go to all these free parades, multicultural parade.
Yep.
There was like a Middle East parade. There's
big
a Bolivian parade.
There's pain in the ass because everybody. Oh, by the way, the main fact
parade.
About the nation's capital. The main fact about the nation's capital. What cities are great because people live in cities. People eat in cities. Yeah. People do things
Nobody
in cities.
Nobody lives downtown.
Nobody lives in Washington, D.C.
No.
Except for Oscar.
Yes.
The only person I know that lives
amongst rubes.
A tiny fraction of the people that make the city work live outside of the city. That's the way it is.
Of course,
it's always
has been
that way.
Yeah.
So that's why you don't have the club scene, the food scene. It's not like New York. It's very frustrating.
I want you to know that the projected dates right now with our warm snap for the peak of the cherry blossoms is April 2 through 5th. So that gives you 72 hours to get out and get COVID. So please hurry. Mm-hmm. Please hurry.
So I'm sorry I went off on a tangent. I happen to agree with you about the whole cherry blossom
There are so many disappointing things in this city, including the crumbling infrastructure, that we don't have time to discuss right now. But if you really want a solid disappointment that has been disappointing for almost a century now, it's those trees. And now in the age of COVID, even worse. And beware, suburban America. Mike Litterist has said, if you go down there, they're going to shut it off. They're just going to close it off.
I hope they do.
I do too.
I hope they do.
I hope they shut it off, and I hope they cut down all the trees and burn
it down anyway.
Shut it down.
By the way, the way you appreciate once you finally get your ass down there, when you've taken your 7 hours to park, and then you've gotten your, you know, you found a food truck on the side of the road.
$5
hot dog.
My old nickname.
Really can't find any restaurant that's open. That's DC. Go down there, and you know what you're going to look like? You're going to look like Chevy Chase in the original Vacation movie when he looks at the Grand Canyon. When he sits there and he goes, now we can go. Seriously, now we can go.
That's
what
it.
Would you say? Total time. After you get down there, you know, I mean, there's only so much time you can look at a tree.
You walk around the tidal basin, 25 minutes, the park service yells at you because you break off a branch and then you go home.
Oh, you broke off a branch?
I did.
This Rube, this is
you
what
broke
we're dealing
off
with.
I mean, a twig with one flower.
What's wrong with him? Like, what are you?
Did you do that to give to your wife?
I did.
Did you do that?
I did.
Where'd you put
that
it?
That was very sweet. Are you romantic, you?
A little bit. That's I suppose.
Put it in her hair or?
I actually handed it to her gently through the bars of the prison when I was got locked up.
Okay, very good. All right. That's
I said, I'm glad you're here, but I would use you for my one phone call.
Well worth it.
Yeah.
Sweet story. Yes, sirree. You know, I'm so glad I can work that up to not even living there anymore. You know, it's
you're always welcome to visit.
You win twice. You get that, and you're not there anymore.
Winner!
Yeah, now I live where everybody comes in for spring break. Anyway, we'll be right back, everyone.
Now more than ever, the need for more communication is stronger than ever.
We need more.
Yes.
We need more.
More.
What do Mike, Rob, and Oscar need more of? Your cards and letters in the TMOS mailbag.
Yeah. Oh, damn!
That's right. And sending a note is easy. You can do it by email.
It's Rob with two B's at MikeOmeraShow.com.
Or the old-timey way through the Postal Service.
Speedy delivery to you.
Send it to P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007.
I got to tell you something. Rob needs more letters.
Then tune into TMOS on Tuesdays when Rob reaches into his bag.
Attaboy.
And gets your note on the air.
We want to do it.
The TMOS mailbag. It's a way for you to get the unvarnished truth.
If you do hand me a Miller Lite, I will hand it off.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. We all knew this day would come. The hope for an economic recovery has pushed mortgage rates higher, leaving little doubt that the low-rate train is leaving the station. It's a volatile market, and it's more important than ever to work with a team you can trust. And I trust the team at Cornerstone First Financial. I'm working right now with Joanna. To get my refi done. For now, rates are still in the twos. Household debt has surpassed $14 trillion, and home equity is at levels not seen in 15 years, so the time to act is now. Whether refinancing for debt consolidation, divorce buyout, lowering your rate, or a new home purchase, Cornerstone First is the only company I recommend. They're a direct lender, which means they can guarantee to meet or beat any offer out there. Call them now, 202-625-1221. There's still time. Or cornerstonefirst.com. Just waiting for rates to go down won't work anymore, so call my friends at Cornerstone First before it's too late. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Act now or forever regret your ridiculous mistake. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Personal attention from application to closing.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
Netflix reinvented TV, not just through streaming, but binging. They started the idea of releasing an entire season of a show at once, so you didn't have to wait a week between each installment. Well, now they're experimenting with a more gradual rollout. Netflix announced that the second seasons of the unscripted shows The Cycle and Too Hot to Handle will premiere in April and June, respectively. I guess they're not dumping everything out there all at once because they want to give you a little taste. Is that what it sounds like to you?
The first show, I think, that really caused a stir by jumping a whole season at once you could binge was, what was the Kevin Spacey president show?
House of Cards.
House of Cards. I think that's the first one. And when they did that, I scratched my head. I said, what is their business plan? This can't possibly work. Mm-hmm. But I think, and what kind of turned me is WandaVision, which I did stay with for like 5 or 6 episodes. You got to look forward, and that whole notion of building suspense, and I think it actually, there's some...
But you get more return on investment.
I think there is some return on it, so I hope it works out for them, because I like the idea.
This is garbage. You've given me, it's like giving me a taste of what I want, which is instant satisfaction. Now when I go to any show that tells me, oh, wait till next week, I get pissed.
I agree. Like, they set the table for it.
I'm going to forget about this. Because I don't care. I'm not that invested. Now, will I watch all the Disney shows that do this? Yes, because they're that good. But not all these shows on Netflix are going to be as good and appointment television.
Right.
Like I think they expect. They're experimenting because they'll get more value in the long run.
Do you think they'll pick and choose on the A-shelf stuff? And
those
will be the ones.
Think about what they just talked about. This is garbage. What's the cycle about?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, if you do that to Bridgerton.
Ultimately, these shows.
Maybe.
If they're great shows, are... Really, even their series are long form movies, and that's what it is. That's why you binge it. A season is like a mini movie. The Circle first premieres on April 14th. There will only be 4 episodes, with additional batches coming on April 21st, April 28th, and May 5th. Too Hot to Handle will follow a similar pattern, but the exact dates haven't been announced. So they're trying to fudge
it. I stop and think one of the greater appointment shows of all time, I think, in recent history was The Sopranos when it was on HBO on Sunday nights.
Right.
Can you imagine if they dropped 13 hours of Sopranos on a day?
Productivity would stop.
No one would be at work because it was that good.
But we're adults and we manage our time. That's what's going to happen.
Yes. Stay at the top of the stairs. Yes. There's that analogy once again. Oscar, you love The Bachelor. ABC's The Bachelor ended a season that has as much drama offset as on, with its most watched episode of the year and final appearance of this guy. Do you know the host, Chris Harrison?
Yeah.
You know
this
dude? Yeah, he's in the middle of something that he created, which is his own controversy, where he did not have the right lens on the world, where he essentially defended a contestant for being involved in a plantation party.
Exactly. He was a blabbermouth.
For no reason whatsoever. He had the correspondent that was interviewing was from one of these magazine shows. She was black. The question was asked about that subject matter. How appropriate is this? And he defended this, just like any random contestant would be on the show.
Oh, that's the thing where they had like this kind of old South and they dressed up.
Yeah. It was like a cotillion ball. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Okay.
As I recall, the reporter kind of led him in the direction he should have gone, and he dug his heels in. He played it really.
He equated it to cancel culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. The pre-taped season finale with Harrison reached 6.1 million viewers last Monday, and after the final rose, that's because they get a rose.
That's the show after
that's
the show.
Special. Hosted by Emmanuel Acho, was seen by 5.67 million people. That's according to Nielsen.
The show is so cheap to make. Yep. And it's so easy to find people that want to be on TV that are good looking.
Right.
That they're going to continue making it regardless of Chris Harrison.
That's right. And because of that, Maddie's a little happier.
That's it. Maddie, you a fan?
Oh, yes. Yes. Every Monday night. That's where I'll be.
Are you going to miss that guy, Chris Harrison? Will you miss? Is he relevant to this?
No, not really. I mean, I was shocked that he took that take, but I agree after he did kind of double down that he deserved to go. So
fine. There we go.
That's what happens.
See, those reality shows, you don't really need the host. A new outside, you could do Survivor without Probst, luckiest man in the world, but Probst has had that mega career because he's kept his nose clean.
Yeah. Clean.
Stop it.
Can you say that?
You can't.
A new outside report found that Facebook has allowed groups, many tied to QAnon, Boogaloo, and militia movements, to glorify violence during the 2020 election and in the weeks leading up to the deadly riots on the U.S. Capitol. AVAZ, A-V-A-A-Z, it is a nonprofit advocacy group that says it seeks to protect democracies from misinformation, identified 267 pages and groups on Facebook that it says spread violence-glorifying material to a combined following of 32 million users.
Wow.
Wow. The company said in a statement that it has done more, this is Facebook, than any other internet company to stanch the flow of, staunch, I should say, the flow of harmful material, citing its bans of nearly 900 militarized social movements and the removal of tens of thousands of QAnon pages. It added that it is always improving its efforts against misinformation. You know what? I love free speech. I think it's great to have, but I think you... Yeah, this is once again the adults in the room. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you got somebody that's inciting people to riot and kill people or, you know, damage property stuff, you gotta make a different rule, I would think, you know.
But also you can't rely on Facebook itself to cover everything. You have to either, you know, be vigilant and watch out for that stuff and report it, I think. Yeah. And at least watch out for your family to stay away from that stuff.
Well, I just want to tell Mark Zuckerberg, stay at the top of the stairs. A new survey asked people of all ages what age they were when they peaked or when they think they'll peak.
Oh, damn.
And the average answer is 37. That's valid.
Oh, my God. I graduated from business school, 37. That was it?
That was it? Yep.
Then I got fat.
That doesn't mean most people who are over 37 are willing to say it's all downhill from there. Two-thirds of people say they haven't peaked yet, and their best years are still coming, Oscar.
Now, I'm going to show you a picture that I ran into the other day where I was like, oh, my God, look, I was so effing skinny. Now I look at look like the other person in the picture. I'm literally going to zoom into this picture. It's so painful. It is so painful. Look at this picture.
Oh, thin Oscar. Yeah.
Thin Oscar.
There's thin Oscar.
Is that you on the right?
Standing next to a bear.
Now I look like the bear.
The bear gets you. You get the bear.
At 37, I was fired and fat. I remember because I went to my high school reunion and I said if we had had a 19th high school reunion, I would have had a job and I would have been 80 pounds lighter.
Yeah, well, I'm happy. You're happy. We're all happy.
I'm hoping the peak is coming. I'm
excited for you.
Thank you.
And now a little something something. There is a 26-year-old woman. Her name, these are tough names, so bear with me here. Collier Fernicus. Who lives in D.C. Earlier this month, she matched up with a guy named John on Tinder. And his first message to her was a detailed recipe for the French fries he wanted to make for her. Quote, hey, I want you to come over so I can make you some Cajun fries. I'm going to buy some low-moisture Yukon Gold potatoes and boil them for you. I'm going to refrigerate them overnight in different water from the water I boiled them in. He just keeps going on and on from there. Collier says she loved how different and specific his message was, so she tweeted it. The tweet went viral, and before her and John had their first Zoom date on Monday, there were more than 66,000 people who invested in what would happen. Fortunately, it went well, and she says after she gets the vaccine, they're going to meet up in person for those fries, and she'll keep everyone on social media updated. On a related note, there is still no response to Matthew Bloom's naked spaghetti party.
Don't give too many details. That's the key.
Okay, there you go.
Different water. Yeah.
Here's I bet you're detailed in the way you make your sketty, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely, but it's a secret. I'm not going to put that out online.
Yeah. That's why you'll be alone forever. Yeah. We will take a break, come back with more fun.
In a world where others found happiness, one man cautioned all those around him.
Don't get happy.
Podcast Village Studios is proud to present Michael Sean Patrick O'Mara in the role he was born to play.
I'm not going
to
be fucking Santa Claus.
I will find you, and I will kill you.
And Regina from the New York Times calls it pretty, pretty good.
Very good. Very good.
Very good.
This film is not yet rated and will not be shown anywhere. The Mike O'Mara Show is available on demand in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and available on Stitcher and Spotify. In space, no one can hear you scream, but on the internet, everyone can hear you bitch.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, let's talk about feet, shall we? Let's talk about your dogs, right? The feet are the foundation of our body, and socks are the most active ingredient in footwear. Features is obsessed with making the perfect sock. And I happen to be, I'm sitting right now, but I am wearing my features as we speak.
Are you seated?
I, I am seated right now. Okay. I would show
you. Standing this whole time.
I would show you my feature socks, but that is not the level of flexibility I feel like going to today.
I understand.
The runner's secret is now the golf course secret. Keep your head in the game because Features has your feet covered. They don't slip. They don't bunch, and they certainly don't give you blisters. Features has engineered a sock with targeted compression, anatomical design, and moisture-wicking material for unsurpassed performance. Every step is cool, dry, and comfortable. I own probably 10 to 12 pairs of Features. I'm adding to my collection all day because I'm wearing them all the time. They're fabulous. Listen, if you're unsatisfied at any point with Features, they give you a replacement pair. Companies do that because they know that you're going to love their product. A lifetime guarantee, that's what that is. If you want the best socks in the world, you need Features. Family owned since 2002. I love them. Features is challenging you to try a pair, and if they're not the best socks you've ever worn on or off the golf course, they'll take them back.
Back,
huh? They're so confident that you'll love their socks that they've also given listeners of the Mike O'Mara Show $10 off your first pair of Features. When you go to features.com/TMOS. That's FEETURES.com/TMOS. $10 off your first pair of Features, and I love them, and I know you will too. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Okay, finally, I want to get to it because I am being inundated now with this particular, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's called Omaze.
Mm-hmm.
Omaze is basically a lottery. Would that accurate to call that?
It's gambling. Online gambling. That a charity
it's a raffle.
Benefits. Yeah, it's a raffle. It's a raffle.
Is it Irish?
But it's Omaze. It will Omaze you.
Amazing.
Like it's a game of chance that's been
not a game of skill.
That a veneer has been put on for doing
accessibility. Yeah, like
doing good. And I do not want to take away from this organization because I imagine that at least little more than 50% of the dollars you put in goes to the organization for their fundraising. If you've ever seen one of those, I would say maybe for your church or high school, they're giving away a big ticket item. So you buy these little raffle tickets that are on paper.
Right, sure.
Your mom would come home with, or your dad coming from the office pool, whatever it may be. This is the virtual version of that. And Mike, last year, you all made fun of me because I was trying to win a house in Florida.
I remember.
You're the first person. The reason I ask you about it is because you're the first person that came to us with this Omaze thing where there. And by the way, Oscar, I think I've seen that house for the better part of a year.
They found another home to give away.
All right. I just think, look, I'm asking you. Yeah. I think they play fast and loose with the dates of when they give these things away. They're not specific.
They're not specific.
And I don't like that.
Or between March 7th and the 21st.
Right.
And they reserve the right to, if you did win, to say that maybe you don't qualify just in case like a white supremacist wins and they have to put him on the cover of Omaze for the day. So one of these, they have so many outs on who gets this.
Yeah, there are no rules.
Can you see the guy going into the office and saying, "Bad news, Mr. Omaze, another white supremacist won the house."
Hey, have you seen him on your feed, on your Facebook feed?
I get when we talked about it the first time, I went onto the website and I think I registered for one thing. I get two or three emails a day from Omaze. Yeah.
This is
constant.
What's the equalizer? Okay. Do you remember when you were younger, we would get all those AOL CDs?
Yeah.
The CD-ROMs where you'd be like, are you effing kidding me? These jerks at AOL keep on sending me this garbage. I'm never going to sign up. I got Netscape. Mm-hmm. I'm A-okay.
Yeah, now, forever. Right. I'm Netscape forever.
I feel like we are on the precipice as the vaccine comes through that we're going to, and again, I'm sure they've done some good, but I haven't met a single Omaze winner in real life, and they've had hundreds of these things.
Well, have you been aware of
Yes,
an Omaze?
Because Mike, I try to hold people accountable. You have to dig to find who the winner is. They'll send you an email saying, your entry didn't win, but you helped this charity, which I'm fine by.
That's
but eventually,
very cool too.
Give me a link to see who won instead of having me to go, I have to go hunt for it. And once I find it, it looks like a Photoshop picture. I'm sure people have won, but I don't know how long they are going to be in business because you can't keep burning people like this.
The picture of the winner, was he playing water polo?
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly.
Now, the one time I'm looking for it, I can't find my Omaze ad. I'm really
Mike, you
trying
probably
right
hit
now.
Spam on your filter.
Maybe I did, you know.
But I get no less than 3 emails a day from them,
yep.
And I'm over it. And I've marked as spam. You know when I didn't mark as spam? When I thought I was going to get an email that says I won.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Nothing.
I got nothing. Listen, I tried to get the Aston Martin, and I
get
tried to get the, that's it. We
have a sweet Tesla X, that Model X now. Thought about it. Said, why am I going to do this? It's disappointment land. And Mike. And
maybe did you see the electric Land Rover?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I won't do it. You know why? Mike, because if I keep going back to the girl that cheats on me, then it's on me.
Yeah. Fool me once, shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
Or shame
is the
on
Model
you.
S, the, did you see the Tesla Model
yeah,
S?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. All of them are hot. The Instagram models I stare at in the evenings
are gorgeous. Is that a new
S?
Is that a new Model S that they're giving away there?
It's got a special body kit. Yes, new Model
S. They've tweaked that up.
Yeah.
I think that Instagram model I didn't know also has a new model kit.
I went to the website now. Win a trip to chill with Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
When the world opens up again.
And you know what I get in the email? Let's hang out. Cameron Diaz.
Exactly.
Like, oh, she finally got my email. No, it's Omaze. It's Omaze.
Isn't it time we hang out, Cameron Diaz?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Their trips, their houses, lots of different
Porsches,
things that they offer.
Lots
here.
Of Porsches this week, I think.
I don't know if it's lots of them, but there are definitely Porsches there. And look at that one. Oh, my God. Is that electric? They're really big into the electric cars.
Omaze should just be, hey, do you want to kick in the balls this month? Sure. Give them money.
But you never know, right? I mean, I've never been notified that I lost.
Is I could take that Wounded Warriors money and give it straight to them, and at least I know they're getting every cent. Every cent.
All right, it says here, hold on, they got something about that. And then, by the way, I'm on their website or their Facebook page. $1,735,716 will support 43 charities through grants from CAF America, all because of you. Yeah. You all really showed the love in February.
Did we?
I guess people are pouring their, not showing the love. They're trying to win something.
Yeah.
Ultimately. Is it a nice benefit that it goes to that? That's great.
We are going to see a dateline on this place, allegedly, because I know these people are probably litigious. I've had a bad experience, Omaze. I've probably given you a little less than $500 of my money through this pandemic. It's been a bad play.
Right.
I'm not going to do it anymore. They're just cagey about the winners.
You
can find them on the web. They don't make it easy to find. This is my experience.
I hate that. Why don't they make it easy to find? I mean, I know it's a long shot.
It's a game of chance, and this is what they'll tell you. You don't have to give money to participate.
You
can actually write in.
Like one of those little things where you say you need not purchase necessary.
Hours looking at this thing where I was like, eh. And I go back to my initial thesis that says, okay, Oscar, stop doing this to yourself.
How much do you think these celebrities are doing this for their charities? Because you could win a chance to chill with Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston over video chat.
I bet, Mike, there's some sort of reference fee or referral fee, which is America. It's a business. Fine. I'm okay with it. I'm going to give my money directly to the charity. Directly. And they can have it all.
You'll never get an electric Porsche that
way. Hoping that I'm going to get a rejection email every 3 days to say, you didn't win, but you know who did.
Hey, look, here's an email from Omaze. It starts, Dear Mr. Jackass, I mean Santana, you did not win.
$15, your $50, whatever it is, has gone to X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
I'll just go directly to them.
Is there anything they could put up, Oscar, that would suck you back in?
Do you know what would be easier? If they showed me the picture or moving video of the person with their stuff, like getting the car.
I'd like to see that.
I think
their obligation would be to send us the pictures. I think it's great that they raise money for this. There's no detail as to how much they give to the charity.
They put the number up there,
but they don't know how much that they got. I want to know who's running this company. I want to know how much profit they're making on this. I want to know what the deals are with these celebrities. I want to know what the deals are with these cars. By the way, the one I entered was a Bentley Bentayga, which is the Bentley SUV, I would sell, but I'd sell it down here for
more money.
After
you drove it for a month. But let me tell you, don't you want...
A Bentley SUV? What is the matter with you?
Don't you want this experience to feel better, Mike, than that Land Rover that you see at Charleston Raceway or Hollywood casinos now, that you see the Land Rover inside the middle of the casino, and you're like, I'll have no chance of ever winning this. But if I put this $10 in... I knew, at least I know this casino does give something back eventually. Like,
Rob,
there's a chance.
The majestic handcrafted Bentayga served dutifully with exemplary performance and opulence that shaped, impulses from the rhythmic beauty of its manicured interior, which is ripe for kingship. It's just a beautiful.
Not a fat man's car, though. Not a fat man's car.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I think a Bentley would be.
Land Rover seats. Like, you've got the skinny seats.
Boo.
No, I think you'd have room in it. I think you'd have.
You said the same thing about the Land Rover. Skinny seats.
SUV. Well, that's true. But that's why I'm
kingly.
Riding in a Caprice Classic right now. That's what I... But there it is. Oh, my God.
No, I think I could fit in there. No worries.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, it's just... but I'd like to know. So that's it. That's Homemade. A lot of unanswered questions as far as I'm concerned. I'm not sure. But
and if
sure
anybody knows
nice.
More about it, please let us know.
Yes.
I would love to know. I would love to do a follow-up. All right? Looking... All the ones I've missed. They've sent me... They've targeted me for certain ads, but not all the... Not all the other things.
And the upsell, you know? They have a masterful upsell. So let's say you wanted to get, roll in for a BMW i8, their electric halo car. Mm-hmm. As soon as you hit that $50, they're like, for another $10, you can enter the Mustang Shelby. And then boom, you hit that, and like a pop-up pops up for another $10. So then next thing you know, you spent $100.
They're upselling you the whole time.
And you got nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. If anybody knows about it, let us know.
And do I care about the Derek Zoolander Center for those that can't read well? No, I don't.
Mike, I just brought up a picture of that Bentley Bentayga.
Yes.
It looks like a Kia Sportage.
Oh, stop it. Oh, Jesus. All right. Enough of you. You don't care about cars. You're a Kia man all the way. I know.
It does.
What is the Kia? What is the Kia you drive around in? What is that one?
A Sorento. Yes. Very European. Continental.
We'll take a break if we
wide
come
seats.
Back.
European.
With more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Probably have a couple beers.
TMOS.
2, 3, 4.
A full-bodied podcast.
Sometimes wine.
With earthy tones of pop culture and a bouquet of comedy, wit, and sarcasm.
Do you drink every night, Pony?
Yeah. I'll have a martini about 5 o'clock.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Sometimes 4 to 6 beers.
A drinking show.
4 or 5 drinks.
With a radio problem.
How am I alive?
Watch the live feed weekdays at MikeO'MaraShow.com or download it wherever you get your podcasts.
I agree. Spring is here.
Yay!
You had better get your lawn back on track. I already have. I'm down in Florida, and it was a snap thanks to Sunday. Sunday is more than a lawn care product. It's a customized lawn plan that works with nature. They take out all of the guesswork and unwanted chemicals so that you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for everybody. Mm. I just went to GetSunday.com, put in my home address, and their free lawn analysis tool took care of the rest. Sunday sends a tailored nutrient plan right to your door, right when you need it. All I had to do was attach the ready-to-use pouch to a garden hose and spray. It's so easy. I've used it. I know that for a fact. Lawn care used to take a whole day. Now it takes less than 15 minutes. Best of all, the stuff really works. The grass already looks better. I want you to try this because it works. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit GetSunday.com/TMOS to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom lawn plan, and you just have to go to GetSunday.com/TMOS. Try it today. You are going to love it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. Well, we did the Omaze thing, so we can talk about the Varsity Blues later in the week. I'd rather do that.
I have a quick sidebar, if you don't mind.
Yes. Just about Omaze?
No. Just about cars, and I figure it's maybe
cars.
Time to do it. So actually, a warning. So I will read, I would say, the majority of my news from my news feed. But then I'll jump to alternative news feeds where you have aggregators that have all these stories that we used to use on the radio when we were younger.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
And
I get
some
it.
Of them right. are garbage because you're like, oh, I finally, like, I've read the story already and I haven't otherwise. But I heard the creepiest, the saddest, the most just faces of death story that I wanted to share because I think it could happen to any of us. This young lady in Ohio State University student is rolling out of a garage in the city, not in the DC, but in middle America somewhere.
Okay, a city.
And she's at the parking garage kiosk where you actually have to put your card in because you know all of these are automated now. Sure. They don't want a real person. She drops her card. She's 23 years old. She drops her card. And then when she goes down to pick up her card on the floor of the garage, she has to open her door because that's where the card is dropped. Because you have this little kiosk. You've got the car right next to it to pay and get out of the garage. And she dropped her credit card, went to go pick it up. Her foot hit the accelerator.
Oh,
and
no.
She died.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And I sat here and I stayed up for about an hour thinking about it, because how many times has that happened to us?
Yeah.
Where you drop the ticket or you drop the credit card.
Crack the door and lean down.
And you crack the door. You don't put the car in park. And yet that's how you go. How terrifying is that?
Horrible. You know what? It tells you, you never know, right?
Right.
You never,
you
never know.
Mm. Oh, God, and I didn't mean to like completely put the brakes on the show, but I felt I
use
felt like
a different phrase, please.
We should talk about this because it's an accident that could happen to any of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, you know, I it's not totally similar, but there's a bit of similarity to years and years and years and years ago. Where seems like I'm talking about my childhood residence here. My house was a weird location. It was on a strange lot next to a giant rock ledge. And my dad thought it was kind of a funky location, and it was. I loved it. I loved living there. It was very, very cool in the summertime as well because we were next to this giant rock ledge. But we were kind of up on a hill, and then you went down a little driveway to this little house that I grew up in. And my mom lived in that house for years and years up until when she was 90, when we went to the assisted living place up in Boston. She was there in this little suburb of Hartford, Connecticut. And she's up there and she's getting her mail. And the mail box would be, you'd pull into the top of the driveway and then it would have a steep incline going down. And she went to get her mail. Well, she noticed that she had not put the car in park. And I think instead, you know, next to park is reverse. Yeah. And I think she hadn't gone all the way. And she noticed that the car was starting to go backwards. And like any true 80-year-old would at that particular time, as opposed to just going, oh, my God, she ran over to grab the car and try to stop it. It knocked her to the ground.
Oh, my God.
Screwed up her shoulder with just a part of the tire.
Yeah.
The metal of the open door scraped across her forehead.
Mm.
She
oh
was totally
God.
Messed up. And she did not get seriously hurt, thank God. But I remember the car went across the road and then down into another ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't a ditch, down into like a valley.
A ravine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, they were going to make the state song "The Hills of My Connecticut." I don't know if they ever did that.
Right.
But it's hills, hills, hills everywhere. Back when I could, you know, walk on things that weren't just level surfaces. So it was it was down
home
there.
With stairs. Yeah.
And she would, that's what happened. It was terrible.
Wow.
It was scary. I actually went home to see how she was doing.
Oh,
got the
God.
Call from my sister that she'd been all messed up. And then, you know, it's amazing how stuff can happen when you least expect it. And it's always to be vigilant. I'll tell you the quick, funny story. And they're all gone now. But Mr. McCabe, who used to have this laugh that was like, very funny guy. And I was driving home to see my mom. I may be with a rental car from the airport.
Right.
And I saw him. I said, how you doing? Hey, Michael, how you doing? I said, hey, how's your mother doing? Is she okay? We heard about what happened. I said, yeah, Mr. McCabe, she's doing fine. She says, yeah. We came back from the store, went to the grocery store, and I noticed that the car was in the, you know, got across the street and down in the ditch. And I said to my wife, oh, Mike must be home. You know, make a little, you know, driving impaired joke, I guess that's what it was. But you never, God rest your soul, Mr. McCabe, you're a funny man.
Yeah.
But you never know little tiny things that can happen.
Yeah.
And it's scary. It's scary when you have a little kid in the house, too. Because, you know, you think that's going to happen. You know, even when he's, you know, taking his Nerf gun the other day and he said, I think the bullet's in there. And he puts it right up to his eye. I said, don't do that.
Yes.
Don't do that. By the way, they've got this this Nerf. I think it's a Nerf rival. That doesn't shoot the long Nerf bullets. It shoots the little soft pellets, but it shoots them with an amazing velocity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're scary. They're scary. You never know, is my point. You never know what can hurt
you.
What can do that?
And maybe you guys have better motor skills, but that little flimsy
ticket.
Of course
we do.
In the car, because I've dropped a credit card or that ticket so many effing times.
Well, of course. Right. And the thing is that every time you do it, you're fueled by urgency and not sense. You just want out. That's why you don't take the time to put it in park or actually get out of the car.
Well, I imagine, Rob, also dropping a credit card would be this situation where, oh, no, let me get that real quick.
Yeah. Yes.
You just have that urgency feeling of, I got to get my card,
exactly.
You know, because it's my credit card.
Exactly.
It's not a quarter where you might just say, eat it and drive off for a penny or something
correct,
like that.
Correct.
Not even for a penny, Mike. Always pick up change. Always.
Sorry. Yeah, but just, you know, put the car in park.
Exactly.
So that's a trap. Where the hell did you hear from this? I didn't even hear about this.
It was one of the top stories on the main feed. And I just didn't go to it until probably midnight last night. And I read it and I was like, oh, I'm up for like another hour and a half. Just tragic.
Was it before or after the Krispy Kreme donut for a year promotion?
That was after. After. And by the way, genius marketing plan. It's everywhere. They spent at least 30 minutes on the talk, just talking about Krispy Kreme donuts.
And Julia is out of her mind. Julia is out of her mind.
Okay, so they will take the hit. Or do you think? I think when it's a single donut, at least the one down here, there's one down here near the little airport down in Fort Myers called Page Field. Turn the page. And they
Hello, Page.
They are. was that Jim Elliott's girlfriend?
I believe it was his daughter.
Well, was it his daughter?
Yes, it was his daughter.
Page.
Hi, Paige.
Why'd you do that to me?
I don't know.
Why did you do that to
it's
me?
Blam-
now
wired.
That's in my head. Hey, Paige.
And I want to congratulate Jim Elliott on the time he was DJ of the week on the Primetime Video Zoo.
DJ of the weekend. We had a picture of him. We put on TV with his shirt off.
He was not happy.
And a towel around his neck. He hated us after that. So DJ of the week.
You had him in a star. Hi, Paige. I'm DJ of the week. Sunshine.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, my God. So you think that...
sorry about that.
So
it's a
when
win
I
for
see
Krispy
my...
Kreme.
When I see my Krispy Kreme, I see a drive-through that can many times be ridiculously long, like crazy long. When you want, I would imagine. Do you think the bottom line that people are gonna, you know, get vaccinated and take them up on this?
They're counting
like for
on
one
the fact,
for one donut.
They're counting on the fact. Obviously, they've already won because of the publicity, right? But they're also counting on the fact that if you get a free donut, you're gonna buy a cup of coffee.
Yeah, but and how much does it traditionally cost them to acquire a new customer? Someone that never thought about going to get a Krispy Kreme, maybe their cheap trip
gets them
there for a free
donut. Let me defer
to
my expert. Let me defer to the expert here.
Okay.
Rob.
I used to go to Krispy Kreme and hang out in college.
How would you describe one Krispy Kreme donut? I mean, in your mind.
In my mind, it is.
The eating of one Krispy Kreme
donut. Mike, it's the pusher man on the corner saying, would you like to have a puff of this joint? Because you have seen me eat 12. You have seen it go down. And that
I could do it.
Yeah, but the thing is that Julia, there is a Krispy Kreme about a mile and a half off campus, same one that I used to go to when I went to VCU 1,000 years ago. And she came in with that article on her phone and she said, Dad, look, I'm going to bankrupt them. Because she'll go every day. She will go every day and get a donut. She will.
365 donuts.
Absolutely, she'll do it. And you know what? What the thing is that she'll be in a house with, what, three other girls? They'll all be vaccinated
all go,
by then.
All
they'll all pile into her car, and they'll get their four donuts, and they'll come home.
Do you think they'll buy extras?
They may. Julia does love their coffee, so she may hit them up for coffee.
There you go.
But the free donut, I mean, she'll go every day. She's not subtle that way. She will stick to that plan.
And she probably wouldn't have gone otherwise.
But she'd go occasionally.
Every day?
Not every day. No. But she does like the product.
I won't get the buzz until I eat at least four.
That's when you start feeling
eating. Yeah. Let me just explain. Eating one Krispy Kreme donut for me would just be... just hurting myself.
It's
it would
the same
be hurting
theory,
my body. It would be hurting my body with no benefit.
The Spiewak theory of beer is this.
Right.
If you have one beer in your refrigerator, it's worse than having no beer in your refrigerator.
I agree. I completely agree.
And it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
I think you could easily, and now we're talking about the physical properties of the Krispy Kreme donut, you could take six of them.
Yes.
And you could take six of them mm-hmm. between your hands and smush them down and quite easily eat those six, you know, in as you would eat one.
When they are
fresh.
Would
that be accurate?
When they are fresh, they are lighter than air. Lighter than air.
Just compress them.
I would say it might be eight donuts compressed would be the equivalent of one cake donut.
Right.
Because they're so light. And I would like to, if I
could. So do the math. If they were going to give away half a dozen.
Okay.
What would be the time of year that they so they're giving away one a day for a year,
right?
If they were going to give away six, just for a couple of months, right? Something like that. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to
six
I'm
a day would be for 2 months.
I think they ought to
six
work
a day
up
for
to
two
a dozen.
Months. Yeah,
well, six a day for
maybe a punch card, and you can go in and punch your card, and then after 6 months you get six donuts, and after 12 months you get 12 donuts and a vial of insulin.
I ate sugar in Key West, and yesterday was my first real day of
feeling it.
Not going for the sugar. And right now, I'm hallucinating that I'm looking at eight boxes of fresh Krispy Kremes that are sitting up here.
Do you remember on the way?
Too many for me, even at my current weight.
Well, do you remember, Oscar,
I get so full.
Do you remember coming back from Florida? I think you killed about six, and you laid in the back of an SUV and went.
Was sick.
Yeah, I know.
No problem at all.
Yeah, they're delicious. Yeah. I love Krispy Kremes. They're fantastic. Yeah,
they're like you lightweight. Yeah. You lightweight.
Did
you have the raspberry filled? That's my favorite.
Oh, you
I
guys
like
were
raspberry
hazy.
Filled too. Yeah. I like not just the plain glaze, but the don't put cream in them. I don't like the ones with cream in them.
Stay away from that.
That's garbage.
Don't be ridiculous.
Like but enjoy it, Julia, and save one for Tio Miguel.
She looks at the Krispy Kreme lady and says, I would break you.
I'll break you. We'll be right back with the digital dumpster.
What the hell's going on here?
I'm Casey Kasem.
Fucking ponderous, man.
He's down on the phone.
Dear Casey.
Oh, f***ing. I want somebody to use his f***ing brain.
He was a little dog named Snuggles.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
What happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week?
We're up to our long-distance dedication.
I gotta talk about a f***ing dog dying.
What is this f***ing ponderous, man?
God damn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. F***ing ponderous.
You can make your long-distance mailbag dedication by sending an email to rob@mikeomarashow.com.
Dear Casey.
That's Rob with two B's.
Two.
And until the next promo, America.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Thank you, Casey.
Hey.
Going to the post office, probably not how you want to spend your time. That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. With Stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. It's no wonder nearly 1 million small businesses already use Stamps.com just like us.
Just like it. Yeah.
Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with the promo code TMOS, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. And no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. You know it. You love it. That's stamps.com. Promo code TMOS, stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Let me get over to the thing here. Okay,
watch your finger, Mike.
Open it up. Watch out.
You didn't mention it in the news, and I think it's probably because you wanted it in the dumpster. Very sad last night. Carrie looked at me and she said, George Siegel. I said, don't tell me. No, come on. Can we go a day without something? George Siegel passed away, not COVID related. It was he was having a bypass operation and there were complications. He was 87, but he has a 6-decade career. He goes back to the 1960s, Oscar nominated actor. And even if he had just done his sitcom work of late, he still would have been a hero of mine. He was great.
I'm not familiar with his work of late. Can you?
He was in a sitcom called Just Shoot Me with David Spade, where they
Okay.
And
also, the Goldbergs is the most.
great on the Goldbergs. And I have a montage here of him on Just Shoot Me and also the Goldbergs. He played Pops, and he wasn't afraid to play the Jewish grandfather. And he was so funny at it and so at ease, he just made the comedy work. George Siegel.
Hey, Donnie, I think I finally got those tubes figured out. It uses hot air to force the capsule through the tubes.
Vacuum.
No, hot air. It's the same reason a Pop-Tart jumps out of the toaster.
Just because she's French doesn't mean she'll make out with you.
I beg to differ, actually. In my experience, the French demoiselle is very adventurous. What's her name again?
Fanny.
Oh, that's a layup.
Score.
Pops.
What? She's named after a butt.
We need to be on our best behavior. That means no dirty jokes, no limericks, no lewd comments.
This party sounds like a real drag. I wear silk. It costs me a fortune. Little worms make it. Little worms make my clothes.
Well, don't wear silk.
You're lucky I don't punch you in the face right now.
So that's the some of the more recent work of George Siegel. He goes back to a great movie called Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Also, that's right. Mm-hmm. I forgot that he was and that was not a comedy. He played a regular, kind of a mellow foil for Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. You know, and I'm trying to think.
He was also in a Carl Reiner movie called Where's Papa? And as a personal favorite, a movie that was shot, about a third of it was shot at King's Dominion, is called Roller Coaster. And it's a pretty good 70s thriller with an all-star cast. Take it too seriously. It was released in Sense Around, where they would rumble the seats for you. But good roller coaster footage and a good story. So
I'm pretty sure I got this one right. Is it Freebie and the Bean?
Yes, exactly.
Freebie and the Bean with Elliot Gould, where that's him at his prime, where he's just a young guy and they're gamblers, and it was super cool. So
he was brilliant, and
a great talk show guest too.
Oh, the best.
Phenomenal.
Yes. Banjo. Yes. Yeah. He'd bring his banjo out. Which was always fun, but not as annoying as Steve Martin with his banjo. He was better with his banjo.
If you want to have some fun, look up George Siegel, Tonight Show, and you'll see some funny stuff.
Wonderful,
really, really funny
wonderful actor and a great career, and sorry to see him go at 87. Mike Tyson is not 87. Mike Tyson is 54, and now I'm seeing why he got that story about the two series. He's starting to do the promotion machine. He says that the fight is on with Evander Holyfield, who is 58. That's going to be on May 29th, and they're ready to go.
I just want everybody to know, you know, the fight is on with me and Holyfield, and Holyfield's a humble man, I know that, and he's a man of God, but I'm God's man, and I'm going to be successful May 29th.
Not buying it.
So there's that.
He got my $60 last time, not buying it this time. No,
he's a man of God, I'm God's man. I'm going to get that.
You know why
he doesn't have as high a voice as he used to. As he got. I like to have a big fat joint.
Do you think it's maybe that's like his boxing voice and not his around the house voice?
I'm not sure.
Can I give you what that means? Is that Evander is doing this for the paycheck, but he will not sell it like Mike Tyson will. He's a humble man, means he's not going to sell this fight. So I'm on here, and I'm going to sell the fight as much as I can, because I got a payday last time. We're going to get a payday again.
He's the man of God, but I'm God's man.
I just want everybody to know, you know, the fight is on with me and Holyfield, and Holyfield's a humble man. I know that, and he's the man of God, but I'm God's man. And I'm going to be successful May 29th.
He will be successful on May 29th.
All right. Yeah.
So there's that. Mike, I pulled that. This was released on St. Patrick's Day, and it's still trending on social media. It's a little girl. It's a little girl named Snuggles. No. She's in Ireland. She's a 4-year-old named Emma Sophia Ryan, and they shot a lovely montage of video of Irish images. But this is a 4-year-old singing Danny Boy, and it's chilling.
Sorry.
Not the reaction I was looking for.
Okay. I didn't think it was that great either.
Well, she's 4.
How about you get into STEM? Less singing.
Hey, that's art. That's STEAM.
STEAM. Thank you.
STEAM. All right.
Science, technology, engineering,
art, math. Yeah, that's right. And also, there's STEAM-GA, which is British education. They had Guinness.
Guinness.
It's
good for you.
Mike, second day in a row.
Denny Crane.
We got to talk about Shatner.
Denny Crane.
I don't know what he's pitching the AI Shatner. Now he says, tell me if you believe this, he's never watched an episode of Star Trek.
I have never watched Star Trek. There are many episodes I don't know. There are some movies I don't know. I directed one of the movies called Number 5. I had to watch that one, but it's all painful because I don't like the way I look and what I do.
I directed one of the movies called Number 5.
Number 5. Number 5. And I don't like the way I look and what I do.
I don't like that.
Denny Crane.
Do you buy that? I guarantee you he's watched everything he's done. I guarantee it.
I don't think so. I'll tell you why. Because I don't like doing it either. I get it. I understand.
You're a little different than Shatner.
No, I listened to the Jennifer bit driving down to the Key West to see my sister three times. I love the Jennifer bit. I love the way you guys reacted to it. And, you know, and to be honest with you, if you want to know an insight into my ego, I was disappointed there was there wasn't more fan reaction to it. I was and I think it's because of where we put it in the show. I think we got to front load all the Jennifer
front load.
Bits.
All the great stuff
because that's how people listen. And they turn it off when it's time for my news.
No, they turn it off at the vault or the dumpster.
I've been turning you off for years, though.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But
appreciate
Oscar,
that.
You've been turning me on for years. All right. I saw this on TikTok. This is funny. This is from I believe the site is called Welcome to Seattle. That's the account on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the trendy server at a gentrified neighborhood in a big city. This is what you get when you sit at the table.
Thanks for coming into Ford. What's your credit score? 720. You just barely made it. Okay. So we have two things on the menu. The first one is a deconstructed, gluten-free, cage-free, vegan, ethical lasagna. And the second is one avocado. So we only have one avocado per day. So what we do is we cut it up and ration it out to each customer. So you'll get about a 64th of an avocado at the price of $50. But don't worry, we're anti-racist. We are so ethical and we are like anti-capitalist. Anything else I can get you? Water. You need a 4-year bachelor's degree for water here? Do you have proof of that? If you need a college, you'll get ice.
There's a great scene in the new Invisible Man where they sit down and they said, what kind of water would you like? And they said, the free kind. And the jerk server says, tap it is. That is your digital dumpster. Close it up.
I could do 20 minutes on that clip you just played.
That's right. Deconstructed.
Absolutely. Hi to everybody up in Maine. Anyway, we're taking a break, and we will be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Thank you for all your support. Send Rob Spiewak mail for the mailbag.
Letters.
Drop him an email, and we'll put it on soon, okay? That's the mailbag we love to do on this show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying be good to each other. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I can't believe you're ending this show.
Mm-hmm. It ain't over until it's over.
Oh, good for you.
Ooh, that's a bingo.